Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement. End the American Lockdown Month draws attention to the barbarity of America's fastest growing industry, the incarceration industry. The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown. On September 13 of 1999, MIMS celebrated the 1971 struggle of the Attica, New York prisoners for their basic rights and dignity. On this date, we also mourned the brutal murder of 29 of the Attica brothers by the New York State Troopers and prison corrections officers, who also cut down 10 of their own as they stormed the prison and ended the Attica Rebellion. On October 15, we rejoice in the formation of the Maoist Black Panther Party in 1966. These two dates encompasses MIMS' first annual End the American Lockdown Month. Throughout the month, we have held educational events about the criminal injustice system and protests focusing on ending various aspects of the American lockdown. We have been on the streets educating and organizing progressive people in the small and large tasks of assisting the struggle. One of these tasks is drawing attention to the growing number of politically active prisoners who are being caged in America's highest security gulags. One of the newest of the torture factories is TAMS. On March 8, 1998, the Illinois Department of Corrections opened a new super maximum security prison in the far southern Illinois town of TAMS. According to Bourgeois Press reports, optimal conditions at TAMS CMAX include 4 visits through a glass partition each month, 5 showers per week, and 1 hour of solitary yard time per day. Prisoners report that under these conditions, quote, you start to lose touch with reality, you become depressed, you become incoherent. On January 7 of this year, 4 prisoners at TAMS filed a class action lawsuit charging that the extreme isolation conditions there are driving prisoners insane. 3 of these 4 plaintiffs are now facing new criminal prosecution from the state's Attorney General office in retaliation for their lawsuit. Standard treatment for prisoners who speak out against the criminal injustice system is for guards and the wardens to take punitive measures against them in barely concealed retaliation for their activism. All manner of regulations govern punitive measures against prisoners by guards or wardens. But if a prisoner is moved to TAMS or placed in segregation in another facility for, quote, administrative reasons, no justification is required. Many politically active prisoners find themselves under so-called administrative measures that restrict their most basic activities. The state of Illinois' retaliatory lawsuit against these 4 TAMS prisoners and the existence of the TAMS facility itself are aspects of the American prison system's agenda of social control. The events at TAMS embody direct retribution for the efforts of the oppressed to make their own situation livable, an extra-legal sentencing that adds time and troubles to prisoner sentences after they enter the gulags. MIMS sees prisons in this country as part of imperialism's control over the oppressed nations confined within U.S. borders. As our first annual End the American Lockdown Month came to a close, we looked forward to continuing our work against the U.S. injustice system throughout the year. We will continue to work with the MIM-led United Front of Organizations, RAIL, and the United Struggle from Within, as well with other individuals and organizations that oppose the prison manifestations of U.S. imperialism. Bourgeois Press reports have noticed that the TAMS is about as far from Chicago as a prison could get while still remaining in Illinois, even though the plurality of prisoners at the facility come from Cook County in the Chicago area. This placement is part of the formula for high maximum security prisons in the U.S. These prisons are built to subdue non-conforming captives through sensory and social deprivation. Many of these more rebellious prisoners are from urban centers like Chicago, and part of their deprivation is being placed prohibitively far away from friends and family to make visiting difficult. Censorship of MIM Notes is a classic example of this harassing activity. MIM Notes is harassed for organizing prisoners in their own interest, and prisoners are harassed for reading for and writing for our newspaper that exposes the pigs' activities. Our own experience with revolutionary comrades behind the walls demonstrates that even the harshest of lockdown conditions will not, quote, stop the green grass of revolutionary activity from growing. In April of 1999, an Illinois prisoner filed a lawsuit against the Illinois Department of Corrections, arguing that the prison censors were denying him his MIMNOTE subscription because of its political content, although they claimed the newspapers were a security threat. Knowing that this is true, the state has agreed that the publications are not a threat to the institutions and have turned them over to the prisoner. Quote, "Now brothers in Illinois can receive all the MIM-related publications which you offer. They have all returned all the theory journals that they had confiscated, my MIM notes, my Maoist sojourners, Notus Roja, and the pamphlet, What is the Maoist Internationalist Movement?" So wrote the prisoner in Illinois. When MIM talks about revolutionary politics among prisoners, we are talking about the idea that prisoners are people and who are being oppressed by the imperialist system. Prisons in America are designed to oppress those who would rebel against U.S. imperialism from within. Not by accident are oppressed nationalities more than 50% of the prisoner population in this country. And it is no coincidence that a Wisconsin prisoner finds that, quote, "Right now in the hole where I am, it's about 85% to 90% blacks and Hispanics. When the white prisoners came to the hole, they are released within 2 to 3 months." Former prison employees in other states have reported identical statistics to RAIL and MIM, and the Committee to End the Marion Lockdown publishes the fact that most control units are 85% black. The United Snakes has always held substantive minorities of the oppressed forcibly within its borders. Settlers conducted a barbaric genocidal campaign against indigenous peoples and confined those small groups that remained to, quote, "reservations" while stealing their land. In the case of the black nation, kidnapped victims were brought and forced to remain here so the white nation could live off their labor. Different Latino nations have been brutalized by a combination of these methods and conscripted as sacrificial ground troops in America's wars. The exploding prisons of today are a response to these nationalities' righteous movement toward rebellion against the U.S. Empire. The Committee to End the Marion Lockdown quotes the TAMS warden as saying, quote, "TAMS is not about rehabilitation. It's about punishment. Some people may never leave." Former prison staff and prisoner advocates with whom MIM has spoken about the prisons in this country report that those prisoners with a revolutionary political consciousness often take the most productive approach to the conditions of their confinement. These prisoners understand deeply why they are in prison and spend time educating other prisoners and organizing among other prisoners to educate people on the outside about the conditions that all Americans are guilty of perpetuating within the prison system. Prison officials agree with this assessment of rebellious prisoners, as a former Marion warden said, quote, "The purpose of the Marion Control Unit is to control revolutionary attitudes in the prison system and society at large." One Illinois Control Unit prisoner of nearly 9 years has told MIM of his own organizing work among paralegals, law clerks, and comrades confined in control units for challenging the status quo. These comrades engage in and litigate the filing of Section 1983 civil suits, mandamus actions, post-conviction grievances, and civil and criminal appeals. Quote, "We also write articles to expose the racist system and its docile service. We fight to put an end to the methods of intense repression, kidnapping, torture, and prison censorship. Recently, our members have all been moved to the new Super Gulag in Illinois as a means to break their resistance and spirit. This new place is called TAMS, or for better words, SCAMS. This is another horror story that by design other comrades are living nationwide." Another TAMS prisoner writes of the purpose of prison, quote, "Every day in prison is but a bureaucratic routine of beatings, continuous harassment, and sensory deprivation. These are techniques being used to control prison populations throughout Illinois' correctional warehouses. The key word here is control, for it is now painfully clear that Illinois prison officials have forsaken all attempts at fostering a positive, potentially rehabilitative prison movement in favor of the brutal policies they claim are necessary to maintain control over the prison population. Comrades, it is not just about bad food, visits, or brutal treatment. It's more fundamental." Illinois' only supermax security prison, TAMS, is part of a $73 million complex. Part of the complex is a 200-bed minimum security work camp. The beauty of locating minimum and super maximum security facilities in the same place? Well, the 445 Illinois Department of Corrections employees at TAMS will not have to do any dirty work, as the work camp inmates handle all maintenance, laundry services, groundskeeping, and food preparation for the Supermax prison, as well as public service work for area communities. The 23-acre Supermax prison compound is protected by double rows of 12-foot high cyclone fencing topped with razor ribbon. A courtroom with video conferencing equipment is located inside the prison. An execution chamber has also been constructed at the facility, although condemned inmates will not routinely be housed at the Supermax. It was designed especially for executions by lethal injection. 312 of the TAMS employees are guards, the total facility's payroll is $17 million, and its total budget is $23.9 million per year. Tam's budget works out well to over $34,000 per year to control each prisoner, not including the $73 million the state reports spending on building the dungeon itself. Tam's cost per prisoner is more than three times the $11,000 estimated cost of room, tuition, and board for a University of Illinois student at the Urbana-Champaign campus. A year at Tam even costs more than a year at the elite Northwestern University or the University of Chicago. Prison regulations are an additional, hidden punishment for prisoners. Quote, says a prisoner, according to an action to be filed in federal court in Chicago, so cruel is the Tam's Correctional Center that a prisoner who tried to hang himself with a makeshift rope was charged the cost of the bedsheet he ruined to make it. Mim has argued for years that many prison regulations amount to an additional sentence, meted out by the guards, warden, or the state legislature instead of a judge. At Tam's, prisoners are home in an 8x10-foot concrete cement cell, which contain concrete beds, a stainless steel sink, a stainless steel toilet, and a stainless steel mirror. The cells are building blocks of a sensory deprivation experience designed to abort a human being's normal thought processes. For this reason, prisoners argue that the prison is making them crazy, and also for this reason, they are correct. Sensory deprivation at TAMS includes regulation against prisoners placing phone calls, limited contact with each other and staff, no physical contact with visitors. Prisoners at TAMS may not smoke, and they are handcuffed and shackled whenever they are out of their cell block, and recreation will only be allowed individually with recreation equipment. A prisoner reports new restrictions on reading materials. TAMS has issued a malicious book policy that limits a resident here to having only 25 books and/or magazines combined together as their own personal property. TAMS will not store or exchange personal books or magazines in their personal property storage. This book policy is a cruel and unjustifiable punishment, as reading is one of the few positive activities we have here at TAMS. Michigan prisoners have recently been subjected to a new property policy that places similar restrictions on reading materials. Prisoners in the highest security facilities in the state are allowed no more than 10 books or magazines. Many aspects of this policy are under legal fire from prisoners and their advocates. This is one of many situations in which we will do well to compare prison policies and prisoner responses across state lines. These conditions of legalized brutality directed at prisoners' minds and bodies in tandem are designed to break down resistance to gain submission from the oppressed through terror. But as Mao said of the marauding Japanese army that overran much of China in the 1920s and 1930s, such systematic disruption of the people's lives educated the people and quickened their political consciousness. Through rapid development of a disciplined proletarian party in opposition to the Japanese invaders, China became powerful enough that the Japanese came and apologized for their barbarity. Mao thanked them for doing so much to help the development of the revolution. In the United States, the situation is the same. It is a historical fact that repression breeds resistance. American prisons are a school of national oppression for the nearly 2 million people caged behind their barbed wire. Such education serves only to foment national liberation struggles and socialist revolution. This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.